Well, thank you for joining me. Let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I do have some really important intentions I would like to ask you to pray for today, and I will I'll share a couple of those with you. And, of course, if you're new to this time, we stop every afternoon. We pray a prayer that was given by our Lord to a nun in Poland, known as the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And the miracles that are being reported through this daily prayer, we stop for a good 20, 30 minutes here and invoke God's mercy, you know, are just off the charts. You know, one person just wrote to me and they said, you know, I just want to thank you, but I want to thank you for the prayers I had. I was praying for my daughter to get a job, and I was just ready to hang up the phone, and the screener said, well, you can change the prayer. And then I talked, and just I asked that God would bless her, just not with just a good job, but an awesome job. I wanted to hold out a big cup, Drew, as you say, not just for a job, but for an awesome job. She has been blessed, I want to let you know, with the job of her dreams. I thank Jesus. I thank the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I want to thank you, and I want to thank especially the Relevant Radio family, and I want to thank that wonderful call screener. So, I love it. She said she'd put in about 300 jobs, and she was getting, like, no interviews at all. So, they called the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and just waiting to hear from her daughter. While she was on the phone, the daughter texted her that she got this dream job, and that's how God works, right? He surprises us. He blesses us. I'll share a story of somebody. Well, I'll share. It's me. I'll share this story. I'll keep the details vague. On Divine Mercy, not Divine Mercy Sunday, on the 24th, during the when the Roe decision came down, as I said, I had gone to Mass in the morning. I went back to pray in the afternoon, and I never have cash on me at church, right? Never. I donate online. I do everything digitally. I have credit cards or debit cards, right? But this time I had money in my pocket. I'd gone to the ATM because I had gone out. I was going out that weekend. So I had a bunch of money on me. And the basket was being passed, and I was in a Franciscan church, you know. And friars depend on your donation. And the Lord said to me, he says, just give what you have. And I thought, man, but that's a lot of money. I just took it out, right? I said, I can't give up. But something in my heart said, give. So I just took what was in my pocket, and I said, all right, Lord, thank you. This is just in thanksgiving for Roe. This is in thanksgiving for all that you've done in my life. Just thank you. I give because I love you, right? And that's what I wanted to give for. And I didn't think twice about it. Went about the day, prayed, rejoiced, came on the air through, you know, with you for a couple hours that day. And the next day, my wife and I were out, and we were looking for something that we wanted to buy, right? And my wife found it. And God has ways of giving us hidden blessings. I'm so convinced it's unexpected blessings, right? What we found, we could never have ever afforded. And we were able to get this for, when I say a fraction, I mean, it was practically free. It was just unbelievable the way that God blessed us with this thing that we had been looking for. And I don't want to say too much because I didn't talk to my wife. She might get mad if I share this. Don't talk about me on the air. She'll sometimes say, what did you say? But, you know, I mean, I'm sure she doesn't mind me sharing this story. But it's, you know, it's just, I don't know. I sat back and I said to her when it was over, because we were giddy, it was like, you know, this is the way God blesses. This is the way God surprises. You can never, ever outgive God. You can't. You just can't outgive him. When you give thanks, when you sacrifice, the Lord is a father. He's our heavenly father, and he rejoices in that. And he always finds ways to return those blessings. I think of when my kids give me something, I want to give it back plus some. And that's how God is, right? And it might be a new job. It might be an answer to a prayer you're seeking. It might be a financial blessing. It might be a surprise that God gives you somehow, some way that you didn't expect. And I've got a million of those stories. God has been so generous to me over the years. He surprised me in so many ways. You just can't outgive him. So, you know, I want you today, let's pray in thanksgiving for all that God has given us. You know, let's continue to pray and sacrifice for those who are so lost that their souls are in trouble. Let's pray for those who have heavy, heavy crosses today, and that might be you. In fact, one of my friends sent me a text last night. It's somebody I visit every year in Maine, and they're the most gracious people I've ever met. They're hospitable, they're kind, they're generous, and we've only become friends with them over the past 3 or 4 years. We had mutual friends, and now we kind of have a tradition together, getting together, and this one woman said, you know, Drew, friends come into your relationship sometimes for a reason. They come in sometimes for a season and sometimes for a lifetime. And I hope that this couple here is in my lifetime. And, you know, I hope they're friends for a lifetime. But I got a call from Dolly. And Dolly Foster, I want to send a shout out to you and to your beautiful husband, Craig. Craig, they believe, had a stroke last night. And this couple here has really been suffering. They're very generous. They're wonderful people. They do so much for the church, so much for people in need. And they've really suffered. I talk about suffering and sacrifice. These people know what it's about. They've gone through it in an amazing way. But she asked if you would pray. She knows how powerful this time of prayer with our spiritual family is, and said, could you please ask everyone to pray for my husband, Craig? So we're going to pray for Craig and anyone who's suffering stroke or mobility problems or cognitive issues or speech. Lord, I just want to ask for complete and total recovery for Craig. And this mother touched me too. I got an email from a woman that says, could you pray for my kids? They're often sick with a cold or a cough, and they have allergies and asthma. And so they're prone to getting sick easily. But Drew, please also pray for my marriage. I often think, why did I choose him? We're often just arguing. Basically, he just tells me I don't do enough. Thank you for your prayers. I could certainly use them. And I have a friend, Bob. I know that you pray with me every day. I want to lift you up. He is having all sorts of issues with his daughter. She's going through a divorce. The children are with him. He's had a number of physical issues. He's having a knee replacement on Wednesday. He's having trouble walking. He's a good man, and that man has done more to spread devotion to the Mother of God and was so instrumental in my first documentary on apparitions. I know he's a victim soul, too, and he suffers a lot. I want to just lift him up. Bob, you're in our prayers now. And my producer, Tom, asked me if we could pray for his daughter, Anna. She doesn't have a job, doesn't have a home. She needs healing of her heart. Remember, she lost her twin sister, Regina, not that long ago. So we'll lift up the whole family now as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. I'm praying today with my colleague, Chris Flood. And it's always good to have you here with me, Chris. So before we take our first call, anything you want to pray for?
I just wanted to pray today for all the prayer intentions that our listeners and donors call in to us. There are many, Amen. And many very serious, urgent needs.
Such a beautiful prayer. And of course, they go before the Blessed Sacrament. They're remembered every day in our masses, our rosaries, our chaplets. You can also send me those intentions at relevantradio.com/Drew. I'm going to the Holy Land in October. Please scroll down past all the material. You'll see a little field there. Just put those intentions. I'm going to pray for you at every holy place I go to. I want to do that for you. So it's a privilege and an honor to do that. If you want information on that trip to the Holy Land, if you think you can go and join Kathy and I know they'll be shutting that trip down soon. The information's there, relevantradio.com/Holy Land. Relevantradio.com/Holy Land. You should pray about that. John is listening in Jordan, Minnesota. John, thank you for joining us.
Hello. Yes, sir. I have a daughter named Mary.
Okay.
And she, excuse me.
Sure.
And she has an addiction. She has two little kids. And the other day I just found out that she got kicked out of her place. So she's out on the streets, homeless, and she needs some help. And I'm just asking God to direct her somehow, help her out.
John, I'm going to pray for her personally, too. My wife and I will, too, tonight when we pray. My heart goes out to you as a father. I just can't imagine what you're going through knowing your daughter's on the street and battling addiction. And it's so horrible. Addiction destroys so many families and robs so many lives. I want you to have faith and pray. Turn to the Mother of God. We're going to turn to our Lord's mercy now. I'm absolutely convinced in the mercy of God. You know, he and one of my favorite quotes, I share this all the time, John, Jesus told Faustina, we don't know the scope of his mercy. So often we don't ask for big enough things. I believe God can break addiction. I've seen it. God can break addiction. I want you to know that. God can break addiction. You know, he can heal. We can have these Saul to Paul moments. And Lord, I pray for John right now, for every father and mother of a child with addiction, for every spouse that has a partner with addiction, for every parent that is battling addiction. Lord, and I pray that we can hold out that cup, and today you'll fill it, that you'll allow somebody to come into this girl's life. You'll allow her to find the pathway to healing. I don't know how you're going to do it or the way those graces are going to work, but I really do intercede for John. And for all now who have loved ones with addiction, we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Arlene in Bakersville, California. Hi, Arlene. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. It's so nice to be able to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm going to go through my intentions super quick. I do want to pray for my family of divine mercy intercessors.
Oh.
I want to pray for you and for Father Rocky and for all the hosts, guests, and staff and all of your families. This is something I pray for every day.
Wow.
I want to give thanks for the Roe v. Wade decision.
Yay.
And I want to pray for my daughter and son-in-law that they get the house of their dreams in Los Angeles at a reasonable price. They've been trying for 9 years.
Wow.
And for another private intention. Thank you so much, Drew.
Arlene, let me just say thank you personally for your prayers. I can't tell you how much I appreciate them and how deeply I value them. I really do. And it's such a beautiful way to pray for all of us here at the network. We're family with you, and we're so grateful for those prayers. Let's pray for that daughter of yours to get that home that she needs. Boy, tough market. No doubt about it. Interest rates are climbing. The cost of housing in California through the roof. Lord, all things are possible with and through you. And I pray that you honor Arlene, who gave you thanks for so many things. And I just I ask you to return to her now just all of her prayers with incredible blessings. And we pray that her daughter find her dream home at a great price. And I pray for all those who are trying to sell their home, qualify for mortgages, those who are looking to purchase that dream home, those who are underemployed and unemployed. Lord, I give you those who are looking to rent, those who just don't know how they're going to make their ends meet. I ask for your providence today, for your blessings, for those financial miracles, for those that multiplication. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Maggie is out today. I'll pray for her on her day off, as well as my producer, Tom. Patrick Alog is doing double duty. He's joining us today, not only producing, but he's scoping out our Twitter account. If you have an intention, you can always put it on our Twitter account, at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. And, well, I'll bring it to the prayer team here for everyone to pray for. You can follow me, at Drew Mariani. Please do that as well. And, Patrick, what's coming in today?
Yes, thanks, Drew. Libertas is praying for Shay and Judy's health issues, and also for souls that are actively supporting demonic activity. Elizabeth is praying for a couple kids, for Gail, a 7-year-old with cancer metastasis to the liver, and also for Alyssa, a 3-year-old with cancer metastasis to the lungs. Mac is praying for peaceful family gatherings this upcoming holiday. Regina is praying for an intention that I hear a lot about when phone screening. It's almost happening every day when I take calls. She's praying for her marriage to be healed and for conversion of her husband. And May, she's praying for her good friend Ray, who is going into hospice.
Well, let's pray for all those who are approaching death. I want to pray for Susie Schaefer, too. She's another friend, a woman who I've traveled on pilgrimage with many times. And I often say you become like family, you know, when you travel together. And every year she seems to take these pilgrimages with her husband, John. And she's battling life-threatening cancer right now. I don't know what the final outcome is. It looks grim right now, but with God, that may not be the case. I want to pray for her, and I want to pray for her husband, John, and for all those who are battling cancer, all those who are making their way to eternity as well, that they'll be ready to meet our Lord. Tom is in Chicago. He'll join us in this third decade as well. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Tom.
I want to pray for my nephew who's got MS. We've been praying for him for a long time. Everything's not working. I just want him to try and go in remission. And my brother-in-law, Pete, who's got cancer, and my cousin, Anthony, who's got cancer, and they need your help. And my friend's wife, who's got cancer, and my other friend, who's got cancer. They all got cancer.
Wow.
I just want, hopefully, that we could pray, and hopefully everything will come about right.
Well, let's pray for today. Well, I asked St. Peregrine, the patron saint of cancer, to intercede. And let's pray now, Tom, for you and for all your intentions, for your nephew, for all those with cancer. Lord, I want to lift up Tom. I pray for those with MS. I want to pray for those with cancer. In particular, too many Americans contract cancer. Lord, you've healed leprosy. You've given sight to the blind. You've given speech to the mute. Hearing to the deaf, you've raised the dead. I pray for those with cancer, because so often it seems to be a death sentence. It seems to be a time of great suffering and hardship. And I just ask for mercy today. I ask for those who have it, that you can fortify them, bring them healing and comfort. For those that love them, that you can bring them solace and direction and peace. I pray for those who are healthy and are not carrying this cross, Lord, that you insulate and protect them. Pray against these cancerous cells now. I ask for your healing as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Sharon is praying with us in California. Hi, Sharon. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
My nephew is in his third year preparing to be a permanent deacon with his wife, Jill. Wow. They live in Valparaiso, Indiana. He took ill after a trip to Florida. He's a business person that travels. He's only in his 50s, and he's really struggling with pneumonia, and it's affected his kidneys, and he's not rallying. So I really want to pray for him. He's also my godchild, and he's my brother's first son, and my brother has been a faithful Catholic in his family, and so my sister listens to and prays the rosary also, so I know she's going to call in to Father Rocky tonight. Amen. But I'm asking prayers because it's really scary. They can't seem to find what's going on.
Well, let's pray. Sharon, that's all we can do, right? I'm glad, first of all, thank you. Thank you for calling and joining us in prayer. And we'll pray for him. Just as mysteriously as this problem occurred, let's pray that it disappears as well. Or let's pray that these doctors have the illumination that they need. And Lord, I pray for those who are facing situations right now where they don't know the source of their ailment, that you can allow the minds of those charge of their care to be illuminated. Lord, I also just pray for protection and healing. I ask that you reach deep to all those that are now afflicted with medication problems, health problems, conditions that are unknown, or at least the solution is unknown. And I just ask for your mercy right now. I give you Sharon and everything she voiced. We pray in particular for her godson, and what a good godmother she is, taking that responsibility of praying for him. I ask for blessings on her and all who face similar health situations now as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I think that's 10, but I'll say for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I want to thank the person who prays the chapel with me every day. I talk about this broken rosary I pray with, right? It's missing a bead here or there. Throws me off sometime. And they said, send me your rosary. We'll fix it for you. I love it. I think they make rosaries. So thank you for your generous offer. I did see the email. Let me take another call. Before I do, I'm getting word right now that there was an Amtrak that derailed in Missouri. 243 passengers are reported injured. No other details than that. So we don't have any details. As it comes into me, I will pass it along to you. But I want to pray for those innocent people. I just pray right now, Lord, this is not an act of terrorism. I just pray that whoever's on there, that you will embrace and comfort and bring healing and protection to. I want to pray for all who are traveling. And I pray for all those we love, that you embrace them and protect them and keep them safe from evil, from elements in nature, human elements, mechanical elements, anything that can threaten their safety. I entrust them to you today. Let's bring Frank in on this fifth decade. He's praying in Montana. Frank, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Frank.
Father-in-law is out in Seattle having a high-risk open-heart surgery.
Okay.
I'd like to pray in gratitude for the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Amen.
And I'd like to pray for all of those that are working in the post-abortion ministry, especially Rachel's Vineyard, Vineyard Retreats.
Hey, John, Frank, first of all, thank you for that beautiful prayer. It's such a great prayer. I want to pray for you, for all of your particular needs, for that father-in-law having that heart surgery. But it's so good to pray. Lord, we pray in Thanksgiving for the end of Roe. And for Dobbs, we pray for the success in religious liberty with the Kennedy case. We pray for the future of this country, that you protect us from degeneration, disaster, and war. Speaking of Project Rachel, speaking of Rachel's Vineyard as well, I'll address this in my last hour today. We're going to actually talk about that post-abortive healing. So many women damaged by this still need healing. So do the men. And I think this is a victory for so many women. So, Lord, I thank you for protecting those mothers out there. I pray for the unborn, those seeking life, trying to become pregnant. For that mother right now that wants to terminate her child. And I want to pray for everyone that's on hold with me right now. We've got Terry and Helene and Barbara and Sharon and Hope and Mary and Irma and Robin and Bob and Marie and Gloria. Lord, I give you all these souls. Everyone that's writing to me, everyone who's put their intentions on Twitter and all those united. You know us and every hair in our head. So we give you our hearts, and with confidence and with faith and with trust, we stand on that great scripture in Mark 9:23 that anything's possible for those who believe. We believe and we trust and we adore and we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for
us. Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine, patron saint of cancer.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, thank you for joining me for that. Please, every day this time, join me, okay? Join me and tell one other person, just one more. Let's increase this prayer team, this family. And watch the miracles come in. As God is answering your prayers, I know there are many, email me, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. That's my email to the show. And just mark it in the memo, answered prayer, and just a couple sentences, a couple paragraphs, whatever you want. Tell me how God answered that prayer. Those lost keys being found, the perfect job being given, the home being sold, the cancer disappearing, whatever it might be. Make sure you write to me and let me know, because it helps me. I know I want to share it with others. It helps their faith, too. And consider joining me on that trip to the Holy Land. If you want information on it, my wife's going to be joining me on that as well. Time is now draining through the hourglass, I like to say. So if you want to get away in October, you can get all the details, all the information at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you for joining me. Welcome back. I got a text this morning. I actually got a phone call this morning from a buddy of mine. And he says, do you know what happened on June 24th? I said, yeah, you know, Dobbs' decision came out. Roe's going to overturn. Life's going to be, you know, there's a victory for life in the country. Oh, no, no. In addition to that, do you know what else happened? I said, no, what else happened? And he sent me a link, and it showed me that Freemasonry was actually founded on June 24th, 1717. Official beginnings of what, you know, the beginning of Freemasonry is considered actually to be on that day. Four lodges in London, they joined together with the premier Grand Lodge of England. And supposedly, that was the genesis of all that. And we've talked about Freemasonry in the past. I know some of you might say, why are you talking about this? You know, my grandfather was a Freemason. Or, you know, there are several exorcists or people who have discussed generational healing, and there's been some concerns about what lies, what kind of curses and occult activity within Freemasonry. I don't want to get too off tangent here on this. I just was struck because he's a guy who looks at dates. I never thought of that, never thought about June 24, 1717, but you know, June 24th, 2022 resonated with me. Of course, we know the Supreme Court overturned Roe. It marked the end of over 50 years, a half a century of U.S. government sanctioned abortions, right? Thank God. But also noteworthy was it occurred on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, right? I'm so glad it came down on that day. I didn't think the Supreme Court was going to release that till this week, but they did. Major victory for life. And as I've often shared with you in the past, the Sacred Heart devotion to Mary Margaret Alacoque and the Divine Mercy devotion to St. Faustina, they're reflective of one another. They're like mirrors. You know, the promises, the elements of the devotion, really, there's so many similarities between the two of those. But the timing of that decision on that holy feast day, it's very significant. It's a triumph for the Sacred Heart. It's also a triumph for the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which was the following day. So really, if you think about this, this happened on the eve of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, June 25th. It's intrinsically linked. Those two feasts are inseparable too, the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. So I just love the way God works. Don't you think so? These things happen behind scenes. People are like, that's not a big deal. You know, well, maybe not. If you want another date, which I think is significant, one of my favorite patron saints, somebody who I've often turned to, is St. John the Baptist. You know, June 24th is traditionally the date that the church celebrates the birth of St. John the Baptist, but because this year it was a Sacred Heart, it got moved a day earlier. But really, this is St. John the Baptist Day, right? Now, you got to love it. So you end the sanctioning of abortion occurs on a day that the church traditionally celebrates the birth of one of the greatest saints, St. John the Baptist. Father Rocky, I heard him on the air mentioning the fact that there's only three people whose birthdays are celebrated: Jesus, Our Lady, St. John the Baptist. So, and I think of the scripture that says, I tell you, among those born of a woman, none is greater than John, Luke 7:28, right? There's one other day. And again, this we'll see with how the church rules. I'm just throwing it out because there's a lot going around on the web about this. June 24th, 1981, you might know that date, 41 years ago, the Virgin Mary reportedly began appearing in a place called Medjugorje, Yugoslavia, where she talked about how peace in the world was threatened and how she came with that message of prayer and penance and conversion. That's the message of John the Baptist, isn't it? No coincidence she came on that feast day either. So very interesting things. I thought today we could talk a little bit about the spiritual dynamic that was running behind this culture of death in our country and ultimately the forces that are now in play. What are the spiritual dynamics behind the fall of Roe? And what do we see happening moving forward? I've invited Monsignor Stephen Rossetti to join us today. He is the president, the founder of the St. Michael Center for Spiritual Renewal. You should check it out. It's great to have him with us. A licensed psychologist, research professor at Catholic U, and author of The Diary of an American Exorcist. So good to have you back with me, Father. Thank you so much for making time for us.
It's great to be with you, Drew.
You know, I had one other element here, Father. I'll throw this out to you because I think you could probably appreciate this. I have a friend who's a priest, and he's in deliverance ministry, does exorcisms, things along those lines. Mm-hmm. He said to me on the following day after Roe fell, he said that this is such a major victory. And he says Satan is going to lose power because of this, because abortion really is like his high holy sacrament. So there's going to be less human sacrifice going on. And he sees Satan losing this. And you know what happens on the heels of this on Monday to this morning? We see a great victory for religious liberty. I'd love your take. What are the spiritual dynamics at play here, both good and bad?
Well, certainly doing exorcisms, we see the real evil effect of abortions. I mean, of course, one of the things we stress the importance of going to confession, that Jesus forgives any sin as long as we're repentant. But the evil itself can be a real opening for the demonic. And mm-hmm. so you see it in the individual case in people who are possessed. Not that everyone who gets an abortion is possessed, but it can be a real open door. And so on a national level, you can imagine if there's 60 million or whatever, however many there have been, of abortions, that it would be an enormous open door for at this country. And certainly Satan must be really diminished when we close that door.
I often thought about that. I think that's a really good point. You know, we have our personal sin, but that personal sin doesn't just affect us. It ripples out. Yeah. And as a nation, Father, I have never saw greater diabolic disorientation than I think we see today. Look at the confusion over gender, right? We've legalized the murder of children in the womb. Thank God that was a victory. We see what's happening with euthanasia. You can go through this whole thing. There were pride fests all over the nation. We just take a look at so much of the disorientation that's going on right now. Is it possible to have for a nation, and this might sound like a wacky question, to be oppressed? Can there be a malaise,
certainly,
a dark
certainly,
spirit?
There's some same sort of dynamics in a group. I trained under a senior exorcist about 15 years ago, and he said, you know, there's such a thing as a kind of a group possession. And he said to me, he thought that the Nazi high command was possessed. And in fact, the Pope thought Hitler was possessed. He did an exorcism from a distance. Didn't work, of course. But can a group be under the sway of Satan? And the more evil a place commits, the more it falls into the dark kingdom. Sure. So I think we are seeing some signs of that, the devil has quite a sway on this nation, I'm sad to say, when you look at increasing conflict, violence. Look at the violence that's going on. Suicide rates are up, terrorism. When I was a kid, no one went into a school and shot people.
I agree.
That's clearly an evil thing. So there are signs, you know, that Satan's influence is increasing in a very dramatic way. So we're hoping that this recent Supreme Court ruling will be turning that around a bit and starting the other direction of being liberated, if you will.
And I want to talk about that a little bit. Let me open the phones, too. My guest today, Monsignor Rossetti, I only have him for maybe another 10 or 15 minutes. If you want to get in, be part of the conversation, I'll open the phones right now. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You've got to call now if you want to get in. Monsignor, I'll take a break in a minute. We'll come back, grab some calls. But let me just pick up on the theme you brought in. You know, Our Lady of Fatima, she had said more souls go to hell because, you know, there are not enough people doing sacrifice for me. Souls go to hell because people don't sacrifice for them. But, you know, I take a look at this pro-life movement. And I think, you know, in order to have Roe overturned, as we've seen, there had to be legislative efforts, there had to be educational efforts, there had to be activist efforts, and there are a lot of efforts. But I think the most important thing, and we often saw this with the 40 Days for Life campaigns, where they would pray and fast outside of these abortion clinics, and there were more radical conversions of abortionists to clinic workers and women not having, you know, the abortion as a result of that. What role do you think did 49, 50 years of prayer, fasting, and sacrifice play in getting us to this point? And why, I don't know whether that's so long or not. I mean, communism reigned for about 70-plus years, right? So a lot of prayer and rosaries went into that. So your thoughts on the timeline and you know, what role the spiritual dynamic played?
Well, you know, in the Marian apparitions, you know, all the approved apparitions, what's the first thing Our Lady says? She says, pray. Pray, pray, pray. And why? because it invokes God's power. It's not us. We're just invoking God's power on this world of ours. So when we say prayer is important, sure, it's because God's power is supreme. But God wants us to invite him in, you know, not just... So, and we see this in exorcisms, for example. I mean, a very important part of every team are the prayer warriors. You know, tonight we're going to have a deliverance, online deliverance session. We have one a month. We have 6,000 people signed up coming. But we have our own prayer team who are fasting and praying for. And the graces that have accompanied these prayer events have been outstanding. So We see again and again the power of prayer.
It's a true. I have a friend, as I said, who's involved in a ministry like that. And he often says to me, you know, can you and your wife pray today, especially at this time? And we'll pray the rosary or pray the chaplet or go before the Lord in adoration and spend time in prayer. Monsignor Rossetti, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll grab a few calls. We're taking a look at the spiritual dynamic behind the spirit of abortion in this country. The fact that Roe has fallen is a victory. And I do think Satan's going to lose a lot of power, because when human sacrifice ends, he loses his grip. I think that's why we saw him becoming more frantic than ever. Where do we go from here? How important is prayer and fasting? And what looms in the not-too-distant future? You can get in. 888-914-9149. We'll take your calls, questions, and comments right after this.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The hope lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So good to be with you. I'll grab a couple of your calls. Thanks for joining me. If you're just tuning in, my guest today, Monsignor Rossetti. I asked him to stop by. We talked about a lot when it came to Roe. We gave you a legal analysis. We looked at what loomed next. You know, we took a look at where the fight goes, how we help mothers. We'll be dealing with post-abortion healing. There's a lot. But what about the spiritual element? I've always believed that the very heart of the fight for life was a dark spirit. You know, the spirit of human sacrifice that we saw in Aztec Mexico and that infiltrated and once again manifested here. And that decision that went down on June 24th, 2022, that Dobbs decision, the falling of Roe, is a victory for life. It's a defeat for the evil one. And I thought, hey, let's take a look at the spiritual role. Let's take a look at the role spirituality played in the lead up to that and what our responsibility is now. Monsignor Rossetti is the president and founder of the St. Michael Center for Spiritual Renewal. You can check him out. It's always good to have him with us. And Monsignor, let's go right to the phones. Let's go right to the phones. A lot of different calls I want to get to. I want to go to Mary first, though. She's been waiting in San Diego. We talked a little bit about the power of the rosary and fasting and sacrifice to end abortion. She's got a question about consecration. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. My question is, or my thought that keeps going around in my mind the last few days, is the consecration by the Pope of Ukraine and Russia and the whole world, he included, might have be the first manifestations of that happening. And then, of course, I wondered if in that prayer, I can't remember, I read it and I said it at the time, but was the Sacred Heart of Jesus mentioned? And then there's the coronation Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth from Fatima.
Well,
and
first of
all those things play any part in, you think, in the spiritual side of this rule being turned down?
It's such an excellent question, Monsignor. I can't wait to hear your answers. But I think Mary is right. And Mary, my personal perspective, when Pope Francis consecrates the entire world to the Mother of God, to her Immaculate Heart, I have no doubt at all that we're seeing the tangential grace from that. We're seeing this. It's not just about ending a war in Ukraine. It's really about conversion of hearts, an end to the culture of death and the things that offend God. I clearly believe you're right. I never thought about it. I didn't put my finger on the pulse of that. But I think this is one of those first manifestations of that consecration prayer. But Monsignor, your thoughts and your responses to Mary.
Well, you know, I totally agree with that. But I'll take it from another perspective. Mary gives us a perspective of motherhood that is so important. And when you actually look about at Mary's life, she was dedicated to be the mother of Jesus. And that really was the focus of her life. And so, of course, she would have a huge impact on the anti-abortion movement and the pro-life movement. So she is our image of a beautiful motherhood and a valuing of human life. So I just think that she stands out. And I think that rosaries and consecrations are also important.
Yeah. You know, Mary, I don't have the prayer in front of me. It was a long prayer. I remember reading it twice, praying it three times, actually. We'll have to look back and see whether the Sacred Heart was mentioned, but that would be a wonderful parallel, wouldn't it? Our next call comes from Susan in California, Monsignor. She wants to talk to you as well. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Hi, Father. Hi, Drew. This has all been blowing my mind because I had an abortion in 1973, the year it became legal in California. I was 19, and I had to get out of this problem. And 1 year out of Catholic high school. So I knew I was going to hell. I left the church. I left the church for many years, had subsequent abortions, and knew I was going to hell and all that. But then 30 years later, I found out about Divine Mercy, and I came back, and I found a parish nearby. And I, Father, how can I help? What can I do? I'm back, you know. And he didn't know anything about any of my history. And he goes, well, we need a pro-life coordinator. And at first I thought, oh, not me, Father, you don't know. And he goes, that's better, when I told him what had happened. But it sucks your humanity out in the demonic nature of what we have done, you know, and what happens. You don't even realize it's happening because that's how you know the devil works all sneaky. And so you don't realize all that stuff. And it was my Catholic upbringing that made me have the remorse and to run away and hide my face and run away for 30 years. But in coming back to see how it worked on everybody, and it's like a malaise over the whole country about, oh, you have the right and all that stuff. So I just want to say that it is absolutely demonic as far as I'm concerned. But here I am. So yay.
Look how God brings good.
Everyone else realizes.
Susan, look how God brings good out of every situation. You know, look at your life now and how you're helping other women. I'm so happy for you. Thank you for sharing so openly about that, too.
I want everyone to listen that it can happen for them, too. Okay.
Amen to that. Monsignor, your thoughts. I'll let you respond. I know we have a couple minutes.
Well, Susan, thanks for sharing just a wonderful story. And yes, as Drew suggested, that the Lord takes our sins and he even turns sin into a moment, if you will, a moment of grace in the future. So he takes our weakness and sins and says, okay, in the cross, I will make this a source of grace. And so now you are the pro-life coordinator and a witness to other women.
Amen to that. Father, I want to go to Bayhead, New Jersey next. Father Joe is joining us. Father Joe, welcome. You're on the air with Monsignor Rossetti.
Thank you, and it's good to talk to you, Monsignor Rossetti. I enjoy your books. But my question is, there seem to be even many, many Catholic women, especially younger ones, who might not be that acquainted with the faith, but I don't know why they seem to be caught up in this idea of bodily autonomy and the idea, and how do we reach them before they're gone? Because, you know, this is a real, I think a lot of people will leave the church because of this issue.
Great call, Father.
Yeah, Father Joe, thanks for being here with us. I totally agree with that, and I'm very concerned about our education of the young, because what's happening right now is that many of them are not even baptized. So what's happening is they're not brought up in good Christian values. And so what's happening, they're not only, you know, not practicing the faith, but many of them are practicing witchcraft and all sorts of things like that. So I think a very important thing we must do in the future is somehow get to our young. And I'm talking to our people about that, saying, you know, is there some way we can get onto social media where the young people are and start talking about these kinds of values? And I, like you, I'm very concerned.
Father Joe, thank you for your call. I have about a minute left.
What can we as pastors, as faithful Catholics, what can we do now, though? Because this is really the hot issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking about Susan, the previous caller, and how she became a kind of a witness to other women. And I'm wondering if, because like I teach at the university, and we have this group of young people, students who are really on fire with the faith and terrific. Is there a way we can mobilize the young people who do have the faith and they can connect with the other young people? They can get on social media. They can do retreats for these young people. And I've seen that happen in our area where young people are ministering to other young people.
And Father Joe, as you know, Monsignor Verzetti, you know, prayer and fasting, sacrifice, it changes hearts. So from a spiritual perspective, as well as the active, and temporal perspective, I mean, we need to do it all. Monsignor Verzetti, I have less than 30 seconds, so give me a quick snapshot of this. You know, Father Joe brought up this point about how, you know, women are all about bodily autonomy. Where's this disconnect, you know, where they don't recognize that there's a human being in the womb? It's almost like there's a darkening of the mind there. Is there a spiritual darkness that blinds people to that reality, Monsignor?
Well, I think the difference is, who's in charge? I start with this. Who's in charge? We're not in charge. God's in charge. This is God created this world, so we ought to be looking to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe in you. Amen. What is your will? What's your law?
That's Monsignor Verzetti. I got to hold it right there.